The word of God given to us today is Matthew chapter 27, verses 32 through 44. Please turn to page 50 of the New Testament, Matthew chapter 27, verses 32 through 44. Allow me to read the words of God. As they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon, and they forced him to carry the cross. They came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. There they offered Jesus wine to drink mixed with gall, but after tasting it, he refused to drink it. When they had crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lots, and sitting down, they kept watching over him there. Above his head they placed the written charge against him, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Two rebels were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God." In the same way, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders mocked him. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him." "He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now, if he wants him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" In the same way, the rebels who were crucified with him also heaped insults on him. Amen. After Jesus was arrested, he was taken to the high priest Annas and Caiaphas, the Roman governor Pontius Pilate, Herod the Tetrarch, and then back to Pontius Pilate, by all of whom he was insulted and humiliated. After being sentenced to crucifixion and mocked by the governor's soldiers, our Lord was led to Golgotha to be crucified. It is known that crucifixion, the highest form of punishment, was commonly practiced in ancient Egypt and was later adopted by ancient Greece and the Roman Empire. There were punishments such as death by being cooked in a cauldron of boiling water or by burning at the stake, but crucifixion was an especially torturous method of execution designed to produce slow death with maximum pain and suffering. It is said that prisoners nailed to the cross could not die immediately, but kept passing out and waking up again about 1,000 times until death. The face of the Lord, who was interrogated all night, whipped at dawn, and suffered all kinds of hardships, was stained with blood from the crown of thorns, and his wounded body was exhausted and could not bear the weight of the cross. Then the soldiers pointed out a man in the streets. Verse 32. As they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon, and they forced him to carry the cross. Simon was a diaspora Jew living in Cyrene who had come to Jerusalem to worship during the Passover. He was suddenly pulled from the crowd and demanded to carry the cross of Jesus Christ up to Golgotha. It is said that the man who had an unlucky day carrying the cross of the Lord later converted to Christianity and became well known among the early church members. Jesus finally arrived at Golgotha. Golgotha, a hill located outside the city gate, was called the place of the skull because it was shaped like a skull. After they came to Golgotha, the soldiers offered Jesus wine to drink mixed with gall. Verse 34. There they offered Jesus wine to drink mixed with gall, but after tasting it, he refused to drink it. Soldiers would give prisoners wine mixed with gall, an anesthetic to relieve their pain. They offered it to Jesus as well, whose body was all torn with scourges. However, after tasting it, He refused to drink it, realizing what it was. He did not try to ease the pain by drinking anesthetics, but to endure the suffering he had to go through to save all mankind. When the soldiers crucified him, they divided his garments, casting lots. Verse 35. When they had crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lots. He lived on earth without any possessions and even gave up his shabby clothes, perhaps the last of the Lord's belongings, as an object of ridicule to the soldiers. According to the Gospel of John, the soldiers divided his clothes into four shares, one for each of them, and decided by lot who would get the undergarment. This happened that the prophecy in Psalms 22:18 might be fulfilled that said, "They divided my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment." The scripture says that after dividing up his clothes by casting lots, they kept watch over him there. The purpose was to confirm the death of Jesus on the cross and to prevent his disciples or followers from rescuing him and bringing him back to life. Verse 37, above his head, they placed the written charge against him, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." On the cross on which Jesus was crucified, a title plate was attached indicating his guilt. It was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." The inscription was written in three languages, only to ridicule him even more. Also, two rebels were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Because Pilate wanted to justify his decision by making Jesus look like their leader. By being crucified with robbers, the Lord was treated like a hardened criminal, so vicious to the point of being sentenced to death. Verses 39 through 40 show how people reacted to the crucified Jesus. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God." When mocking someone, one expresses their emotions nonverbally through making unusual facial expressions or gestures. One frowns, wrinkles their lips, does not pay attention to what others say, or does not answer questions. In Korea, people shake heads and click tongues to express ridicule. In the ancient Near Eastern societies too, people shook heads as a gesture of contempt or ridicule. Those who passed by Jesus on the cross hurled insults at him, shaking their heads. The word "to insult" was translated from the Greek word blasphemio, which is a combination of the verbs "to disturb" or "to harm" and the verb "to speak." Therefore, it literally means to speak words that harm others. In the New Testament, blasphemio was translated as to slander, insult, disturb, blaspheme, and etc. Given its meaning, we can tell that people said all kinds of swear words and insults toward the Lord on the cross. The reason why they did so was because he had said that he was the Son of God, the King of the Jews, as it was written in the plate, and they were convinced that he was a blasphemer. Verse 40, "You who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God." The multitude of crowds did not know the divinity of the Lord, who was in very nature God, and mocked him, saying, "If you are the Son of God, save yourself and come down from the cross." If he were the Son of God, he could come down from that cross. The crowd was ignorant of Jesus being the Son of God, and so were the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders. Verses 41 through 42. In the same way, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders mocked him. He saved others, they said, but he can't save himself. He's the king of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. Even though Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah prophesied in the Old Testament, was suffering on the cross before their very own eyes, the Jewish religious leaders had no idea of it and could not awake from their ignorance. It was as if the whole world was determined to unite with one mind in mocking Jesus for failing to save himself from the cross while saving others from disease and death. The Jewish religious leaders, not knowing that the purpose of the Lord's coming to this earth was salvation through the cross, were unaware of their spiritual blindness. When things went as they planned and Jesus was finally crucified, they were delirious in their victory, to the point of telling lies that they would believe in him if he came down now from the cross. Verse 43, he trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him, for he said, I am the Son of God. If Jesus was the Son of God, would God have his Son Jesus die on the cross? A father would save his son. They were mocking him based on what he said. Let God deliver his son Jesus from the cross for himself. Let's see if God will rescue him. How can Jesus be the Son of God now that God is not providing any help? Even the robbers who were crucified with the Lord insulted him. Verse 44. In the same way, the rebels who were crucified with him also heaped insults on him. Absurdly enough, even the criminals who hung on the right and left of Jesus hurled insults at him. However, one of them realized who Jesus really was when he heard him pray on the cross. And when the prisoner committed his spirit to the Lord, Jesus proclaimed salvation for him, as the Gospel of Luke testifies. Soldiers, crowds, Jewish religious leaders, as well as the robbers who were crucified with the Lord, constantly mocked him to come down from the cross. However, Jesus stayed put. He could have asked God to protect him immediately by sending more than 12 groups of angels. He could have mobilized a heavenly army of angels, but did not come down from the cross to accomplish the righteousness of God the Father. It was not the first time that our Lord heard the words, "If you are the Son of God," that the Jewish religious leaders mockingly spat out. He heard it first when he was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness and was tempted by the devil. Matthew 4:3 says, "The tempter came to him and said, 'If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread.'" And verse 6, "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against the stone.'" The devil says twice, "If you are the Son of God," while tempting Jesus. The first word that came out of his mouth was "a," which in Greek is a conditional conjunction meaning "if." In general, subjunctive is a way of temporarily acknowledging something that is not true or is not clear whether it is true or not. The demon already knew that Jesus Christ was the Son of God and came to save the world. Therefore, his purpose was to put shackles on his feet by making him simply give in to his hunger and discouraging him from walking the path of the cross. He then tempted him to jump off the top of the temple and perform a miracle, even saying that if he worshipped him, he would give him worldly authority and power. The scripture testifies that the devil left Jesus when he defeated his temptations with the word of God, but he tested the Lord throughout his public life to get in the way of his purpose. Among Jesus' ministry, the only miracle that appears in all four Gospels is the miracle of the 5 loaves and 2 fish. Taking 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, which was the lunch of a boy, Jesus fed 5,000 people besides women and children and picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they thought, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain without saying a word to the crowd. The temptation of the devil, who told Jesus to make bread with stones, was followed by more temptations of the crowd. During his public life, after the miracle of the 5 loaves and 2 fish, he was tempted to reject the mission of the Father by his own disciple Peter, who rebuked him after hearing Jesus' prediction of his own death. John 19:10. "Do you refuse to speak to me?" Pilate said. "Don't you realize I have power either to free you or to crucify you?" Caiaphas, the high priest, turned Jesus over to Pilate, the governor, and pressed him to execute Jesus. Pilate could not find any fault in him and tried to release him. However, he succumbed to pressure from the Jewish religious leaders and the crowd, who shouted that releasing Jesus would be disloyalty to Caesar. Pilate, wanting to pacify the crowd, asked Jesus, "Where do you come from?" This was a question about Jesus' identity. When the Lord was silent on his question, Pilate questioned again, saying, "Don't you realize I have power either to free you or to crucify you?" At that time, in the Near East, there could not have been an authority more powerful than Governor Pilate. Pilate revealed that he was in control of the life and death of Jesus. If he had wanted, Jesus could have persuaded Pilate, who was favorable, not to crucify him. But the Lord did not yield to the temptation of the devil through Pilate. The Lord came to this world to fulfill the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God is the righteousness that is achieved by accepting through faith the work of atonement performed for our salvation and by being justified by God in that faith. So the Lord did not choose to save his life in the field of atonement on the cross, which was the only way to save his people from their sins. According to tradition, Pilate, who had become the devil's tool to tempt the Lord, later committed suicide after being exiled by the Roman Emperor to what is now France. Pilate has been cursed by generations of Christians coming and going as the culprit who killed the Son of God and the Savior of the world using the power bestowed upon him by the emperor. Pilate was unaware of the fact that having authority to decide the life and death of others does not mean that he could save his own life forever. He seemed to be a man of power, but indeed he was nothing but an instrument of Satan. Like the devil who tempted the Lord, the Jewish religious leaders who mocked the Lord, saying, quote, "If you are the Son of God, show a miracle to save yourself," unquote, were indeed nothing but puppets of Satan. The crowd insulted him, saying, "Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God." But Jesus did not respond to the crowd, just as he defeated the devil by saying, "Do not put the Lord your God to the test." On the cross he stayed, and on the cross he died. The devil, who demanded Jesus perform a miracle by jumping from the top of the temple, worked hard to tempt him from the beginning of the Lord's public life to just before the completion of the redemption. Satan, who tempted and tested Jesus, had long ago tempted Adam and Eve. Satan constantly tested God's people, tempted the Son of God, Jesus Christ, and continues to tempt us. Adam and Eve could not discern Satan's temptation and gave in to it. David, a man of God, also yielded to Satan's temptation to satisfy his lust for Bathsheba. But Jesus Christ overcame the temptation and did not give up and come down from the cross, which was the only way to save us, his people, from our sins. The devil constantly attempted to corrupt the work of Messiah, but Jesus defeated the temptations with the written words of God. We are living a life today between God's kingdom that we have already experienced and the one that has yet to come. As we live between the first and second comings of the Lord, the temptations of the devil continue to strike us today. You must resist the devil prowling around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. It is our daily task. When we let down our guards, we can become the devil's tools to harass our loved ones and sometimes become a tool to gossip our neighbors. Remember, the devil does not appear with horns or with the face of a criminal. The devil comes to us very kindly, sometimes naively, sometimes grandly, sometimes cunningly, swaying the thoughts of our hearts. The devil constantly confuses us with the words of God and interrupts us. So we need proper discernment. Is there any form of hypocrisy in us, like the Jewish religious leaders, or any form of fanatic believer whose faith is blind and obsessed with biblical literalism? Aren't we caught up in fear and occupied with religious customs? Aren't we quick to criticize others, looking at the speck of sawdust in their eyes, paying no attention to the plank in ours? Aren't we stubborn religious people with hearts hardened like a rock without the love of Christ? The cross is a symbol of love and mercy, grace and joy, and forgiveness and peace. But we must discern whether we are listening to false voices that have lost love and mercy, grace and joy, and forgiveness and peace, obsessed with rules and outward actions. We must test if we have the blind zeal for the religious leaders who wanted to gain salvation through observing the law without understanding the essence of the law, which is the Christ who fulfilled the law. Romans chapter 12:2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. The Apostle Paul testified of justification by faith through the book of Romans. And then he also exhorts Christians about their attitudes toward life. The core of Paul's exhortation is that the attitude of Christians who have been saved through the cross should be different from general world ethics. The worldly morals, norms, and ethics are based on social manners. However, the Christian ethics that Christians must follow differs in that they start from their relationship with God, not from the social manners that the world follows. Paul claims that what is good is not to be judged by how many agree or how much you possess or how much you know. He exhorts that wisdom is examining the relationship with God and discerning what God's will is. He appeals not to conform to the pattern of this world and emphasizes that when the world tempts us to imitate the worldly patterns and as members of society, use them as models for our lives, we must boldly reject the temptation. The Apostle James also warns that friendship with the world is hatred toward God. The two wheels of the Christian faith are faith and works. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Also, faith without works is dead faith. It is important that the two wheels of faith and works are balanced and not biased to either side. Christianity is not an abstract religion that ends with knowledge, but a gathering of worshipers who worship with their lives, seeking a whole of personal change according to the life and teachings of Jesus Christ. It rings so hollow when the Jewish religious leaders mockingly said that they would believe in Jesus when he came down now from the cross. This is because they were not living a life of discerning the goodness of God and his perfect will, and their voice was not based on the word of God. They turned into a puppet of the devil as they were bound to legalism without a true understanding of the law. The first humans who walked with God in the Garden of Eden fell into the trap of the serpent. The first generation of Exodus could not enter the land of Canaan, even though they daily experienced God caring and guiding them with pillars of cloud and fire. The keepers of the law saw but could not believe that the righteousness of God was being revealed through Jesus Christ. Why these? Because all of them were spiritually blind. It is up to each of us whether to live blind or have faith more precious than gold. We face temptations and trials every moment of our lives. Nevertheless, let us not be afraid or lose heart. Let us follow our King Jesus Christ, who has already achieved salvation through the cross, and live as more than conquerors. Let us pray. Dear Father, in the garden you created, the first man, Adam, fell into the temptation of the serpent who distorted your word. After 400 years of slavery, the Israelites were on their way to the land of milk and honey, witnessed pillars of fire and cloud every day for 40 years, ate manna every day. But the first generation of Exodus failed to enter the land of Canaan because of disbelief. The Jewish religious leaders devoted their lives to obeying the law, but did not recognize the righteousness of God in Jesus, who was crucified on the cross to save mankind. Their eyes were open, but they were all spiritually blind. Our enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour among us, as the kingdom of God is happening in the present and is also yet to come in all its fullness in the future. However, since our Lord has already achieved victory on the cross, we take heart and march forward. Let our steps follow the path of the cross that you walked every day, and lead us to a life that boasts of your cross. Give us stronger faith to live a life of enjoying your grace. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.